Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello and a very happy new year. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, January the 2nd. Hope you had a fantastic festive season. First today, we're going to be hearing about an SEN school in Kent that's been earmarked for closure. Now, Bradstow School is in Broadstairs and supports children on the autism spectrum with severe disabilities. The facility is actually owned by Wandsworth Council, but they say it may have to shut in August because of financial issues. The London Authority has accused Kent County Council of failing to pay nearly £2 million for their services. KCC says there's no legal basis to those claims. Well, we'll hear a full response from the County Council shortly, but first, let's hear from Mum Michaela McCarthy. Her son, Chester, has been at Bradstow since September 2023, and she's been speaking to Oliver Leader-de-Sachs from our colleagues at KMTV.
We were sent an email by Wandsworth in November, so a little under 6 weeks ago, and it was just explaining that they are going to consultation to a proposal to close the school, and they was just giving us a time frame. We was just told by email, just to say the people that are making the decisions at Wandsworth have never stepped foot on Bradstow premises. They've never seen the work. I think they have very little understanding of that, one, the complexity of the children, but two, the amazing work this staff do on a day-to-day basis and how needed this is within the SEN education system. We need schools like this. Basically, they have said that it is due to the financial difficulties. Kent County Council haven't been paying their school fees. They've amounted in a £2 million debt. They have half of the children that attend the school are Kent children. And they have been in talks with Wandsworth. Kent have been in talks with Wandsworth since 2021 about taking over Bradstow School, having it transferred over to them. They was even offered the land for free from Wandsworth, and they pulled out last minute. And hence why we then got the email to say that Wandsworth couldn't continue funding the school, and they are looking to close. But we feel that not every avenue has been explored here. They've only gone to Kent. There is lots of different avenues to keep a school like this open. You know, to take a SEN school out, there's more SEN schools being closed than SEN schools being created. And when you create a SEN school, you've got to find the right staff. There's going to be teething problems. These things take years. And our school is so well established now that they don't even really have to outsource training because the staff are so well trained. We are talking about some of the staff, the therapy team, the knowledge that they have there that our children access on a daily basis.
When you got that email, what was like your immediate feeling? Because it's the sort of thing where it kind of changes everything, doesn't it? Because like you're not sure what the next year now looks like for Chester. You're not sure what the process is going to be. What was your immediate feeling when you read that?
I can be completely honest. I cried. I cried because my son has only been there since September 23. And he has come on leaps and bounds. He is so happy there. And I just couldn't understand why money is before the children's needs again. I just feel let down by the system. I constantly feel like we are being punished as SEN families. I feel like we are being punished for having disabled children. If I'm honest, we're treated, it's inhumane the way that we are being treated. These are the most vulnerable in society that we as a community should be protecting. We should be investing in them. And I feel that the councils, they think that they are almost a lost cause, like they are not needed to be invested in because they're not going to get a return in their financial invest, which is absolute rubbish. There is no limits of what our children can achieve at all. And their education and everything that their future would have entailed has now been, is in jeopardy.
South Thanet MP Polly Billington is also campaigning to keep the school open.
I'm very concerned that Kent County Council isn't taking their responsibility seriously. About half of the children at Bradstow are from Kent families. So if Bradstow closes, Kent will have to find alternative provision for those children. Bradstow is extremely specialised as a school. Many of the children come from across the southeast of England, as well as those 15 or so who come from Kent. And they have profound and complex needs. There is a crisis across the country, and there's particularly a crisis in Kent, where they are failing dismally to meet the needs of many, many children. And those with particular complex needs, like the ones at Bradstow, will be very hard to place elsewhere. I think it's important for people to understand that the children who are at Bradstow have been failed again and again by mainstream education. They may well have been at 3, 4, even 5 schools before they've settled at Bradstow. They need the support, continuity and certainty that the school at Bradstow provides for them. And whether they are residents or they are day pupils, they value this kind of supportive education, and there does not seem to be any clear alternative that Kent is proposing. One of the reasons why Bradstow has been pushed towards closure is because of Kent failing to pay its fees to the current owners and runners of the school, which is Wandsworth London Borough Council. And I think that is important for us to realise that this has become a crisis partly because of Kent failing in its responsibility to pay its fees. And when almost half of those children at the school are from Kent families, the responsibility for Kent in order to be able to provide education for these children is very pressing. That's why I'm asking them to consider working with the governors, the staff and the families to find a solution to keep Bradstow open.
As promised, here's the response in full from Kent County Council.
KCC is working to find alternative educational provision for the pupils currently attending Bradstow School. Individual plans for each student will seek to minimise the disruption to young people and their families arising from the transition. KCC responded to Wandsworth in spring 2024 to say there's no legal basis for them to be of the view KCC owes funds in respect of Bradstow School. Wandsworth subsequently informed KCC in August 2024 it was not taking the matter further, and KCC has not received any other communication on this, meaning we regard the matter closed.
We will keep you updated with any developments on that story.
Kent Online News.
A Gravesend man who attacked several people after gate crashing a party has avoided prison. Arthur Jordan punched and racially abused a female guest and left another woman unconscious after turning up at a property in 2022. The 20-year-old from Arthur Street has been ordered to do 240 hours of unpaid work and pay more than £1,600. Firefighters sent to tackle a fatal blaze in Faversham have revealed they thought the building was empty before finding a man dead inside. A house of multiple occupancy in Salters Lane caught alight because of an e-scooter last August. An inquest has found 44-year-old busker James Renane died from carbon monoxide poisoning after crews initially thought all residents had left the building. His family have described him as a well-loved person and an amazing character. A drug driver has been sentenced after being pulled over by police in Maidstone. Daniel Willock was seen by officers searching for a blue package on the ground, which turned out to contain cocaine. They followed him and he admitted being a drug user. The 44-year-old from Stockett Lane in East Farley has been given a 12-month driving ban and ordered to pay more than £1,000. Now, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. There are calls for action to improve safety at a four-way junction in Ashford after several crashes. Well, Kate joins me now with more on this one for the podcast. So, Kate, where specifically are we talking about?
Well, this is the junction that connects the A2042 with Elwick Road and Station Approach near the town's railway station. The junction is controlled by traffic lights, but last Friday, two vehicles, including a Range Rover, collided outside the former Cappadocia restaurant. It's at least the third crash there in recent months, and residents are now calling for further safety measures.
So what are they saying needs to be done?
Well, some have called for cameras to be installed to catch those driving badly. Others think yellow junction boxes need to be put in place to stop motorists getting into the wrong area and causing an obstruction. It's claimed drivers cause gridlock by not judging the lights and then getting in the way of oncoming traffic, something that's been echoed by Ashford Central Councillor Paul Bartlett, who's told Kent Online people think they can clear the junction, but because all the sets of traffic lights are so closely together, they are mistaken and traffic ends up being stranded in the middle of the junction. He's also urged the County Council to install a yellow box at the junction.
And finally, Kate, what have the authorities said about it?
Well, they've told us how new rules mean they can now enforce moving traffic offences, such as stopping in yellow box junctions. They add the powers will be useful in keeping roads safe and moving. The authority has already started to use the enforcement measures in a number of key locations and will look at implementing others on a case-by-case basis.
Kate, thank you ever so much. Perhaps you know that area. You can share your ideas by commenting on the story.
Kent Online reports.
People smuggling suspects could face travel bans and social media blackouts under new laws. The government is vowing to crack down on channel crossings to Kent, as last year was the deadliest ever for people making the journey in small boats. Steve Smith from campaign group Care for Calais says asylum seekers are being displaced all over the globe.
As long as these world events continue, then of course people driven by fear, desperation, are bound to make their way to Calais and try and get across to the UK for safety.
A teenager has been arrested after a car was slashed with a knife in Folkestone. The victims were driving along Radnor Park Road when they saw a moped travelling the wrong way. He later caught up with them and made threats before scratching their car. The 18-year-old from London has been released on bail. Police are investigating a suspected arson attack at a former nightclub in Ashford. Firefighters were called to a derelict building in East Hill last Friday night. It was the second blaze there in 2 weeks. The owner of the site's been ordered to bring in 24-hour security. Plans for a new slip road off the A2 near Canterbury look set to be given the go-ahead. It would allow you to come off the coastbound carriageway at Windcheap, which bosses say will ease congestion from new housing developments. Work will cost more than £8 million. A final decision is due to be made next week. And a new year means there's been an increase in bus fares in Kent. Stagecoach has revealed hikes of up to 33% for some journeys in 2025, on top of the government's decision to raise the current cap on single trips to £3. Arriva, which operates in Medway, are also increasing fares for the new year.
Kent Online reports.
Next today, and quad bike riders have churned up the muddy ground at one of Kent's last remaining heathlands. The damage at Hothfield Nature Reserve near Ashford was found just after Christmas. Kent Wildlife Trust says this sort of destruction can impact the rare flora and fauna found at the site. Will Glasson is from the conservation charity.
A few weeks back now, we had, I was on site and actually came across a quad bike driving around the site. It's dangerous for a number of reasons, really. For one, you've obviously got the human, which obviously the for us is the most important side of it. That they're a risk to other users on the site, to themselves. They had no helmets, no kind of protective equipment. They're a danger to our livestock as well, who are free roaming on site. So our cows and ponies could easily get spooked. They're also damaging our unique habitat that we have down at Hothfield. Hothfield is an 86-hectare heathland just outside of Ashford. It's the largest one in Kent. And it's really unique. It's SSSI, a site of special scientific interest due to the rare flora, the rare plants, as well as the rare species of invertebrate and vertebrate that we have on reserve. So some of the plants, such as our heather, such as some of the rare acid grass and species, which we get, which can't move out of the way of this 4x4 coming on, get completely wrecked by it, and it disturbs animals who, if this was later in the year in the nesting season, might be attempting to nest out in the heather where these bikes have been driving. Unfortunately, it is a bit of an ongoing problem because we try to promote access onto our reserves as much as possible, which means it's very difficult for us to prevent things like off-roaders coming onto site, because if you prevent something like that, it means that somebody who maybe has a mobility scooter might not be able to get on. But what we want to do is just create those sorts of community relationships where people feel they have a bit of ownership of our reserves as well, and they'll kind of flag any of this antisocial behaviour and want to try and prevent it on site too.
Tributes have been paid to a motorcyclist who died following a crash near Maidstone on Christmas Eve. Lamin Mena was riding a bike that hit a lamppost on the A26 Tunbridge Road in Barming. Flowers have been left at the scene and a fundraiser has been set up to help send his body home to family in Gambia. Firefighters and paramedics have been called to a members' club in Gillingham following concerns about a potential noxious attack. There was a chemical reaction in the toilets of Wigmoren District Smallholders Club on New Year's Eve. Three people suffered minor injuries. Police are investigating reports a woman's car was targeted by vandals with a catapult in Ashford. The window of the black Audi was smashed in Stanhope last Saturday night at the junction of Bredgar Close and Monkton Close. Officers want to speak to anyone with CCTV or dashcam footage.
Kent Online News.
The founder of a Kent baby loss charity has told the Kent Online podcast it's bittersweet to be recognised in the King's New Year honours. David Ward set up Abigail's Footsteps after his daughter was born sleeping in 2009. He's been given an MBE for services to bereaved parents, but has been telling me how he almost didn't receive the letter.
Bizarrely, it was in the postbox for some time, it seems, because I hadn't checked the mailbox for a while and opened the mailbox on the Friday morning to find a soggy letter, opened it and realised I hadn't until the Monday morning to acknowledge and accept or decline. So another few days and I would have missed it.
How did you feel at that moment? It must be quite a bittersweet feeling for you because of why you set up the charity in the first place.
Yeah, totally. As you know, as one of our ambassadors, the charity, if we'd never had it, I would have been very happy because we would have had Abigail instead. We don't have Abigail, sadly. We do have the charity. As you and I've spoken many times before, her legacy will outlive all of us. And I just see this as another sign of her legacy and all that the charity have achieved and the team have achieved in the last nearly 15 years.
And I guess as well, David, to have this recognition, it's on a national scale. An awful lot of people will see your name when those announcements are made official. That raises awareness of the charity and all the good work it's doing as well, doesn't it?
Yes, very much. We always talk about the importance of fundraising, but the raising awareness is equally as important. And any recognition we can give towards the tragic situation that still goes on in this country with stillbirth and the poor facilities that exist in many hospitals still. So the more we can do, and if this award helps recognise that, and the more we can challenge hospitals to improve their bereavement care, then fantastic.
Obviously, you have to keep this very quiet, so your family are going to be finding out on the day. What's it going to be like to share that news with them?
It's going to, again, back to that point, it's very surreal. I don't feel that I'm worthy of it. I think it's a team effort. Jo's been alongside me all the way. She's obviously been very much part of this as well. Not sure I can ask the King for a dual reward, but, you know, we can try and ask, can't we? The amazing team at Abigail's, the team that works so hard there, the trustees, the vice presidents, you know, Lady Liz Astor, who's been phenomenal from the outset, people like Cheryl Baker and Julie Etchingham, they've been out there from the outset, but, you know, helping us and supporting us. And it's thanks to that amazing support from so many people, you know, yourself included. I mean, you think about the podcasts you've done in the last 2 years, all of that is raising important awareness of the work the charity is doing, and that is really what is making the difference.
Moving into 2025, David, as we've discussed, unfortunately, your charity will always be needed because there will always be families going through this situation and you'll be able to support them. What are you wanting to achieve going forward?
We're very keen to support more hospitals. Jo and I recently attended a midwife training session in London, and three midwives from three separate hospitals stood up and said, please, can you help us with our bereavement suites? Two of them in very large central London hospitals, which was very shocking. I think the aspiration from the hospitals is always they want to do it, but of course, it's always the same old story. There's no space. There are other people that need it. The same journey we had at Medway 7-8 years ago, they didn't realise we needed it. They didn't understand why we needed it. And of course, once they had it, they were so proud of it and use it so frequently now. So that challenge, I think, next year is going to be very much about getting to get a hold of CEOs, educating them, and being a useful but critical friend who can help them and support them, but make it very clear they need to do this for the parents going forward.
And a huge congratulations to all of those in Kent who've been recognised. A weather warning for snow has been issued for Kent this weekend. The Met Office says it could cause disruption between midday on Saturday and 9 a.m. on Monday. It's after strong winds and rain hit the county yesterday. A flood alert is also in force at the moment around Sittingbourne and Sheppey because of the high tide. Plans to expand the number of car boot fairs held on a field near Dartford have been rejected following concerns about parking, litter and noise. Organisers of the Farm Boys Country Boot Sale on Foxhounds Lane in Southfleet wanted to increase the number of events from 14 to 28 between March and September. The council say it's an inappropriate site. The boot fair boss has declined to comment on the outcome of the application. A postman who's been described by residents in Broadstairs as an absolute legend is celebrating his retirement. Ralph Loden started working for Royal Mail as a telegram boy in 1975 and was known for his friendliness and for wearing shorts no matter what the weather. Well, now he's not working. He says he plans to spend more time visiting his son in Madrid, walking, running and playing golf. And finally, the Kent artist known as Mr. Doodle has revealed plans for a new home in Dungeness. Sam Cox wants to use laser-cut metal doodles on the outside of the property, but there have been some concerns from residents and Lidtown Council. You can see pictures by heading to Kent Online.
Kent Online Sports.
Football and Gillingham will be looking to get one over their neighbours as they take on Bromley tonight. When the sides met in League Two only last month, Bromley won 2-1. Well, the Gills are coming off a disappointing loss to Wimbledon on Monday, and manager Mark Bonner spoke after that defeat.
It comes around really quick, doesn't it? So no time to feel sorry for ourselves. We've got to try and get ourselves going really, really quickly. Obviously, our games are a little bit scattered compared to others over the next few days, but we need to prepare ourselves as quickly as we can. I watched the Bromley game yesterday on me sick bed. I haven't been in for the last couple of days, so the boys were the boys looked after things brilliantly the last few days. The staff and the players delivered what we asked tonight the best they could, and it weren't quite enough for us. But having said that, we got to go again really, really quickly, and players that have maybe not played tonight or not been involved tonight, they can come back into it very, very fast because of the nature of the turnaround.
And we can also hear from goalkeeper Glenn Morris.
It doesn't matter who we play next week. We need to sort of get back on the horse and get the 3 points. You know, like you said, Bromley was another disappointment evening, and we didn't put the performance in we wanted to. So we'll have to try and put that right. But it wouldn't matter who we played next. We just need to just get back on. Yeah, back on it and pick up some points.
Kick-off at Priestfield tonight is at 7:45. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online, and we'll have reaction to the result in bulletins over on our sister radio station, KMFM, tomorrow morning. That's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. Whilst you're on the website, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium, which gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.